Praise the Lord. We have already heard precious words of God. Every word goes deep to our hearts. And already in the word of introduction, I had to think about it. It was a falling down on the face, a worship. We sometimes sit, and not even in devotion, singing, "Thou art worthy, Thou art worthy." And there one threw oneself down, and all that was in heaven and on earth worshipped. And the thought came to me, what might be the right worship before God? The worship that reaches Him, the prayers that reach His throne, that are not only heard here, but that reach above. As we have heard, that in these bowls, in the bowls of incense, the prayers of the saints were gathered and brought before the throne of God. And it simply says, these are the prayers of the saints. They were collected and poured out there before the throne of grace. They were the prayers of those who were pardoned by God. And these prayers were brought again to the throne of grace. The redeemed multitude has the privilege and access to God to offer the prayers which then come back where they belong, namely where grace goes out and has become effective in those who have been pardoned. Their prayers come back, namely to the throne of grace. And if we want to quote the word of the Lord from the prophet Isaiah, from memory on this, it says, the Lord says, my word does not return to me void, but accomplishes that for which it was sent. It goes forth from the throne, comes to this earth, accomplishes in God's people what God has set out to do, and then returns again, but not void, but the prayers of thanksgiving from the hearts of those in whom God's word has been able to accomplish something, go up with it, are gathered and poured out on the throne of grace. Let me say it again. Those who are pardoned by God hear His word. It accomplishes in them what He sent it to do, and their prayers of thanksgiving return with His word and are poured out there at the throne of grace. And the Lord remembers us and hears us. In this word, in 2 Kings 4, we have the strange incident that the very sons of the prophet did the thing that led to death and prepared a dish that brought death to the people who ate it. If it had been the sons of a priest or anyone, we would not say anything about it, read over it and forget it. But it was the sons of the prophet. who were instructed by God, who sat under the sound of the word of prophecy. And strangely enough, this happened right after the boy of this widow had been raised from the dead. Gehazi had laid the staff on him, and there was no sound. But then the prophet came, and God blessed him, used him, and he gave the son back into the mother's arms, and she was glad. And after that we read about the famine, and this is very significant, because in Amos chapter 8 it actually says, if I'm right about verse 11, that God will send a hunger in the last days, not for water and bread, but a hunger to hear the word of the Lord. And especially when there is a famine, people tend to eat everything, no matter what it is. And it is precisely at that time that we should be careful, all of us who belong to the older generation, who have lived through the bad times and years. We know what all was put on the table in times of famine. Today, we would feel a chill down our spines, and we would not know if we would eat again what we ate. There was a famine in the land, and it seems as if the enemy had beguiled this person to put something in the pot, to poison the whole thing, for there's been nothing but poisoning. It could not be eaten. Whoever ate, he died. And I tell you, he who is earthly poisoned and dies, well, he is to be pitied. But whoever is spiritually poisoned, in the time of famine, in the time when God sent his prophetic word, such a person is to be pitied. And let him return to God and his word and understand what happened here. Whoever reads the story correctly, and all scripture is indeed inspired by God and is profitable for doctrine and for correction, then it says that they called again the man of God, namely the prophet. And it says they cried out, "Death is in the pot, man of God." So much came to their remembrance that no other will get instruction here, and no other can be used of God to detoxify the whole thing than he to whom the word of God was given from the beginning. It was the prophet Elisha, and they said, "Man of God, death is in the pot." It says they couldn't eat from it. They noticed it right away. Something was wrong with it. Today, when I think of all the things people swallow spiritually, and they don't notice. At that time, they noticed it. For them, there was hope. For them, there was help. For them, there was salvation and God's mercy. Then it says, then he said, "Bring flour." You can look it up in the Old Testament, in Leviticus. The flour was offered as a grain offering before the Lord. As a grain offering. What was it? This was about a food that was to be eaten, but it was inedible. And he put flour in it, and it was good again. He had a directive from the Lord. But he said, Then bring meal. And he cast it into the pot, and he said, pour out for the people, that they may eat. And there was no harm in the pot. So you see, the death in the pot was the poisoning, the noxious thing that had got in there. That was the whole thing. And after this man of God, by divine instruction, put the flour in it, he said, pour out for the people, that they may eat. And there was no harm in the pot. May God truly give grace, more grace than we deserve, more than we can ask for, as much as we need at the moment, and we need a lot, a great deal. We can say with John, and of his fullness we have all received grace for grace. That's all it is. When Revelation 4 was read, I had to think of the word in the Old Testament, which runs parallel to it, from Ezekiel chapter 1 and chapter 3. It is a very peculiar, a special word. Here in the prophet Ezekiel, in the first chapter, it says right in the first verse, which is unspeakably important and gives information about everything that is to come. It says, now it came to pass, in the 30th year, in the 4th month, in the 5th day of the month, as I was among the captives, by the river of Chebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. The emphasis here is perhaps on two or three things. The prophet was brought to those who had been taken into exile. That is point one. Not to those at large, but to the people of Israel in exile. That is point one. Secondly, then the heavens were opened. Thirdly, and I saw divine visions. That's the emphasis. Not only visions, but visions of God. Visions of significance in the plan of salvation. Visions that have been written down in the Bible for your instruction and mine, so that we may know the will of God. When we read later in Revelation, in the same chapter 4, verse 1, there are almost the same words. John saw the heavens opened, and he was raptured in spirit, and he saw the things that God revealed to him. This prophet Ezekiel was taken to those who had been taken away into exile. The heavens opened, and he saw visions of God. We know very well that the Church of the Lord was also in some kind of spiritual captivity, whether in this way or that. But God has given grace, has not left us to ourselves and our fate, but has sent his prophet, has opened the heavens. He has given divine visions and revelation of his word and spirit, so that all who listen to the voice of God can come out to be helped. And when we read about the four living creatures in Revelation 4, I had to think about that here in Ezekiel, it is already written about the four living creatures, namely in chapter 1, verse 5. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man, and everyone had four faces, and everyone had four wings, and their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides. And they four had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went everyone straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side, and they four had the face of an ox on the left side. They four also had the face of an eagle. Compare that with what is written in Revelation 4. Exactly the same description. Exactly the four living creatures, as seen here by the prophet Ezekiel, so much earlier. With God, all things had already been decided long ago. God's plan of salvation does not begin in the New Testament. Even the prophets saw in advance. They saw all the things in divine visions and wrote them down. Heaven opened up to them. And we too, by grace, may stand under an open heaven and may receive and accept what has been said and revealed in divine visions. You know, I did not know that this word would be read tonight, and I have read absolutely nothing from the Bible today, not a single verse all day. I may have thought about this word and that word, but I purposely didn't read anything so that I wouldn't somehow come into the meeting and feel obligated to read what I've already read. But one thing moved me inwardly, and I had to think about the fact that people are attached to people, one in this way and the other in that way. And if I may read here now, and we can all read, that men of God saw divine visions and communicated them to God's people, then they did not bind men to themselves and make them dependent on themselves, but bound them to God, made them dependent on God. And in this, it is always revealed from whom things come. If they come from God, they bring us into connection with God, make us dependent on God. If they come from a man, they make us dependent on man and bind us to man. But if they come from God, they make us dependent on God and bind us to God. And that is what we actually want. The connection to God. To be connected to God. To be attached to Him. To be one spirit with Him, as Paul expresses it to the Corinthians. Here, in chapter 13, in the prophet Ezekiel, we are told, Likewise, thou son of man, verse 17, Ezekiel 13, verse 17. Likewise, thou son of man, set thy face against the daughters of thy people, which prophesy out of their own heart, and prophesy thou against them, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Woe to the women that sew pillows to all armholes, and make kerchiefs upon the head of every stature to hunt souls. Will ye hunt the souls of my people? And will ye save the souls alive that come unto you? Yes, sir, not the Lord. That is what they do who are spoken of here. And that is a true word. That is as true as God has spoken it. Do you want to kill souls? As we read in 2 Kings, death is in the pot. When is death in the pot? When you put in your own that you have sought and found somewhere, then death is in the pot. And all who eat of it are poisoned, and they die spiritually. And here, God addressed the prophet, the man who saw divine visions, and said, Prophesy. Yes, that's a thing. Prophesy against those who prophesied. That is a very strong thing. But God told him to do it. And it says here that sew pillows to all armholes. Yes, it fits everywhere. They have the right excuse or speech for everybody. They always know exactly what needs to be said. And then this trouble here. To catch souls. Souls you want to kill, who belong to my people. And souls do you keep alive for yourselves. They know exactly where what must be said or done. But God will turn it all around. God will turn it around. He must turn it around. It goes on here, Ye pollute me among my people for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread, to slay the souls that should not die, and to save the souls alive that should not live. By your lying to my people that hear your lies. This is beyond comprehension. We who profess to be of the truth, of us it should be said, my people who are of the truth, love to listen to the truth. Here it is said, you who lie to my people, who love to listen to lies. Something is already wrong there. He that is of the truth, saith our Lord, in John chapter 11, he heareth the words of truth. And John writes, he who is of the truth heareth us. And here something quite different is said. You all know, things have not changed yet. Times come and go. But in the spiritual realm, nothing has changed yet. God will give grace that His own may abide in the revealed Word of God, that to what God has said nothing be added, else death is in the pot, and whoever eats of it, it will not be good for him. Those people back then still had a good consciousness. They noticed immediately when the food came to their palate, to their tongue, that something was wrong. They still had discernment. May God give me and you discernment whether something has not been put in somewhere, and we eat. You can also steer it so nicely and prepare the thing. But when we have put something into it, then death is in the pot. And then you have to turn away from it and return to the Word of God, as the Lord spoke it through His servants, the prophets, and preserved it for us and revealed it by grace. There was something else in Revelation 4 that touched me very much, and I would like to come to a close anyway. Here, this worship, I already mentioned that. I mean, we should, when we sing the verse, "Thou art worthy," at least stand to sing in reverence to the Lord. I really had it in my heart like that. When they prostrated themselves before Him at that time, we should at least stand up. And it says here that the living creatures were covered with eyes and cried out by day and by night, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." It is the Lord, God Almighty, who sent His prophets at all times, who opened the heavens above them, who gave them divine visions. And if you read here, having already opened Revelation 4, verse 1, perhaps part of it, for my sake, the whole verse, here it says, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet, talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things." A John had to wait a long time. All the other apostles were already with the Lord. And outwardly we could have said, this man still had to go such a hard way. He was banished to the wild beasts on the Isle of Patmos. But what was it? It was the providence of Almighty God. This man was used to tell us these things. Not all God's children are prophets, but all God's children have access to what God has spoken through the prophets and what He has revealed. We do not need to be prophets, let alone act as such. But what is important is that we receive the word of prophecy. It is enough for me if here was a man sent and used by God, to whom these things could be revealed. When I hear them later, when I receive them in faith, and when God transfigures them to me through His Spirit, then I see the same things revealed to me today through the Spirit that John saw at that time. And it says here, the verse that we have already emphasized, verse 9, "And every time the four living creatures offer praise and honor and thanksgiving to Him who sits on the throne, to Him who lives forever, the 24 elders prostrate themselves before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever, and lay down their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. We see that the 24 elders did not listen impassively as the four living creatures offered praise and honor and thanksgiving to him who sat on the throne. They prostrated themselves and also worshipped. We cannot help but worship with them when they worship. Give thanks with them when they give thanks. Honor and praise with them when they honor and praise the Lord. We share in the same grace. We share in the same word. And therefore, just as we see the complete agreement here, so we may already experience it here on earth. And I would not be at all surprised if God has made a connection between the meetings of his people and the glory, that it all interlocks. For you see, the four living creatures were later active at the opening of the first four seals. We do not want to go into details here, but somewhere and somehow God has arranged everything in such a way and led it in such a way that everything, as Paul also writes to the Ephesians, that everything that is in heaven and on earth is summarized, and that everything is summarized in Christ as the head. And so there is nothing left for us but to thank and worship our Lord and God from the bottom of our hearts. Do not forget, if God spoke to you and me, if the word of prophecy that went forth from the throne took hold of you and me, then it connected us with God, namely with the one who spoke to us. And I have also had to think about this very briefly today. In the days of Paul, there were people who said, "I stand by Paul." The other said, "I to Apollos," and "I to Peter," or something, whatever names you want to apply here. Paul was the one who said, "Who died for you? Did I lay down my life for you, that you should call upon me?" They were human-minded believers who did not understand that such people were only acting as instruments of God, not to bind people to their person, but to connect them to Almighty God. And this one thing, this is what God wants to bring about in these closing days, that his people are not bound to this or that one and become dependent on him or even enslaved, but that we are connected to God, become dependent on him, that we get the connection to him, and then all will be well. If you and I are connected to God, then we are connected to each other, bound together in the bond of divine love. And that is the bond of divine perfection. Nothing and no one will separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Prophets saw divine visions of significance in the plan of salvation. They were written down, and we have had great privilege in this time to learn of things, to see into things which many before us have not seen and have not heard. May it have brought about a connection to God within us and detached us from all other ties. And probably you don't believe me tonight, but most believers are in a relationship of dependence. They are subject to those who rule over them. It is not to be that way in the Church of Jesus Christ. We all want to be solely dependent on our Lord and Savior and have the connection to Him alone. And if we have it, you and I, all of us, and with us, all God's children, that is all we need. Then we are also connected with each other. May God bless us, give us grace to go forward in faith, and you will see the end will be crowned. We have no choice but to persevere to the end and be among those who will then receive the crown of life. And one day, it may happen to us, as it happened to the 24 elders, that they took off their crowns and laid them down, saying, "Thou alone art worthy." They have not counted themselves worthy to keep the crown they have received in the presence of the Lord their God. They have said, "You alone are worthy," and have laid down their crowns. So it may be with you and with me. But one thing is certain: he who wore the crown of thorns, he alone is worthy to be crowned, who was worthy to take the book and open the seals, who is worthy to reveal His word and His will to those who belong to Him. May His blessing rest on us all in a special way. In the midst of this spiritual famine, God has prepared food. No one, especially not the sons of the prophets. That is where I have the most fear. I am not afraid of ordinary people. They don't throw anything clumsy into the pot. When they throw something in, nothing happens. Nothing happens. But when the sons of the prophet throw something into it, then I fear that something will fly into it that doesn't belong in it, that some kind of poisoning will take place. If you throw something into it, it doesn't do any harm at all. It doesn't harm the pot at all. But woe, if somebody comes with an inspiration, then things look different. And that is the moment when we have to watch out and be vigilant. But God will preserve His own. I'm sure, and I know it, as it was then, so it will surely be in these days. When we return and say, "Lord, as Thou hast spoken it by the mouth of Thy prophet, so we let it stand," you will see there is recovery, and all can eat again, and no more death will be in the pot. The poisoning will be gone again. The poisoning was not brought by the prophet, not by what he had to do from God, but by the sons, by the followers, and there lies the trouble. May God truly help me, you, and all of us, that we may be helped indeed. Blessed be his holy name. Amen.